If you need a Bible, lift up your hands. The ushers will get a Bible to you. Again, Romans chapter 8. We're going to pick it up in verse 5. Hey, we want to remind you, coming up at the beginning of the year, we have the Bible reading schedule for a year. We've got those out in the information center. If you're wanting to do that, I would encourage you to do that. And just a great habit to get into. So that's at the information center. You can pick that up. And guess what? You don't even have to wait till the beginning of the year. You could like start now, you know, and kind of get a jump. Not necessarily start in January now, but start now of where it's at. But anyway, those are out there. Grab those. Also, the Christmas Eve celebration once again at 3 and 5. And hey, if you guys have been with me any time at all, you know that, you know, one of my dreams, one of my fantasies, prayers is that someday during one of our events, we would fill this place so full of unbelievers that the believers would have to leave. I think that would be great. And, you know, I remember reading years ago as when I was starting out in ministry, reading Spurgeon's biography, and that actually happened to Spurgeon. He had to ask believers to get up and leave to make room for unbelievers. Is that cool? That would be awesome, huh? Yeah, so grab the invitations, go invite people, and we will ask you to leave. Maybe not. We'll see. But anyway, hey, you can grab those, make sure, and we do want to, we'll definitely, if you invite your friends and family, we promise to give them the gospel and give them the truth. So looking forward to that. This is like one of my highlights of the year. I love Christmas now, not because of the gifts, but because he came and we can celebrate that together. So 3 and 5 o'clock, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity here today to open up your word, to read your word, and God, most importantly, to believe it and then do it. So as we continue looking at, Lord, real life, as we continue looking at situations and things that come up that we ourselves battle against, Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding into your word so that we can be strong and we can stand firm in you. And God, that then we can be the people, the men and women that you made us to be, that you saved us to be. So we pray, Lord, that you would just bless this time, that you would anoint this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time we looked at the first few verses of chapter 8, and once again, kind of thinking about that title verse, the very first verse, where Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How important that is to get a hold of and to understand. And a couple things about that is, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the catchphrase there is, you've got to be in Christ Jesus for the no condemnation. But then, as we think about that and look at that, we need to think about some people hear that and say, oh, well, then I can live however I want because there's no condemnation. And that's absolutely the opposite of what Paul is talking about and what Paul is writing about. But Paul, knowing human nature, knowing people, knowing us, began to explain it. And that's all of chapter 8. Like, he makes a declaration, and then now he's got to kind of explain it different ways. And last time we kind of like got our little toe in, so to speak, of thinking about this and looking at it, and the whole idea of walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. And now Paul is going to kind of define that even to a greater detail. But here's the thing that he's going to show us. There's such a dichotomy between the flesh and the spirit. There's a dichotomy between those who are in Christ and those who aren't. One person said it this way, there's the saints and there's the ain'ts. So, you know, you kind of think of it that way. And as we walk through this, because I think it's important that we understand. And here's the thing, we're going to read quite a bit more about the ain'ts or those in the flesh than those in the spirit. And I think he focuses on that because we have a tendency to drift that way. Why? Because we have that old nature in us that draws and pulls and does those things. So as Paul teaches and as he goes through this, here's the thing. I believe firmly he's talking about unbelievers and believers. I'm talking about those outside of Christ and those in Christ. But here's what I know. Oftentimes, we as believers act and live like unbelievers. And I think we battle in this area. Otherwise, I don't think you would have to write this. So I don't want us to read this and go, well, that doesn't pertain to me because I'm in Christ. Let's think about our lives. And, you know, I challenge people at times like, hey, if you're acting like an unbeliever, you're acting like an unbeliever. You need to get called out on it, right? We need to be brothers and sisters who love each other enough to say, hey, you are totally in the flesh, bro. Right? And kind of let people know. But sometimes you call people out and they go, am not. You go, you so are. No, I'm not. I'm a Christian. Well, I know you're a Christian, but you're acting like you're not. You know, so let's think about that. So as Paul begins here once again, and you know what? Verse 5 kind of tells, or is on the tail end of verse 4, kind of drawing the conclusion where he says that the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For, verse 5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So once again, as I said, Paul's kind of giving us that dichotomy, letting us know there's a huge difference between the two. And you know what, for the sake of, as we're going through Romans chapter 8, you know, we're talking about people living in the Spirit. I'll explain some of that, but we're not talking about, you know, some of the areas where people go, I don't even like to talk about the Spirit because that's spooky stuff. Because some people have made the whole idea of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us sort of mystical. Listen, if you're born again today, you have been given the Spirit of God. We're going to see that in a moment. And the Holy Spirit indwells you to guide you and to lead you and to convict you. He's there. We'll talk more about a different work of the Spirit later on in chapter 12. But listen, as he's talking about this, he's letting us know you're either, check this out, the world. God sees the world this way. Those walking and living according to the flesh and setting their mind on the things of the flesh, those walking, living, serving the Lord in the Spirit and setting their minds on the things of the Spirit. In God's view, there's, quote, two races of people, the saints and the ain'ts, right? And you're one or the other. You can't be in between. Listen, you can't mix this up. And you know what I feel in the church today? I feel we're trying to blend it. We want to bring the fleshly attitude and the things of the flesh in the church and kind of make it all, you know, harmonious and kind of blend it together, syncretize all of it. And our culture's that way, isn't it? Our culture, we don't want distinctions anymore. We want everything to be good, you know what I mean? And I think about how they're just pushing really hard. Hey, you're not male or female, you're whatever. And let's blend it together. Let's don't have distinctions. Listen carefully. There are distinctions. And especially, you know, obviously, especially in the male and the female, but it's a whole different topic. But especially in the church, we should be different. We should be living in such a way that people would be jealous of what we have. Now, the problem is some Christians act like they're holier than others, they're better than others, and that kind of messes everything up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your life should be different. And you should be a person who's enjoying life, who's living life to the fullest. We're gonna see in a minute, hey, if you're in Christ, Christ came to bring you life and peace. And when he talks about life, he means fullness of life and peace. And if you're not experiencing that, then you need to wake up. You need to understand who you are. So Paul first, though, says in verse 5 again, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. We talked last time, this is not talking about our skin and our physical body. He's talking about that part of us that's egocentric, Remember, we said that part of us is just so focused on self and self-gratification. That's what the flesh is. And he says, those who walk that way, walk and set their mind on the things of the flesh. They're consumed with it. Now, as I think about that, I think, what are things of the flesh? What are some of the things of the flesh? Well, there is a list for us in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, Paul gives this one list and he says it this way. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's a pretty extensive list as you look at that. And some of us are sitting here this morning going, yes, I don't do that. And yet we feel all good about ourselves, huh? Because these are kind of obvious, and and here's what I think. Too many of us think walking in the flesh is just some really gross thing. It's not always really gross. Listen to what Jesus said. He says in Matthew chapter 6, therefore do not worry, saying, it's interesting, we sang a song about worrying today. Jesus tells us not to worry, right? He said, don't worry. Why do you worry? Whenever you worry, do you stop and ask yourself why you're worrying? Because it's rather foolish, isn't it? Worrying never accomplishes anything. So Jesus says, listen, don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need such things. You know, sometimes in the flesh, it's all about being overly focused on those sort of things. Oh, now we kind of hit home, huh? Because we are a very materialistic culture, and we live in a materialistic culture, and sometimes we become materialistic. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with having things. That's not what it's about. What the problem is when things have you. Now you're in the flesh. Now you're walking in the flesh, and you set your mind on those things. So here's what Paul's saying. What are you focused on? What is the thing that you focus most of your time on? What is that thing that you kind of absorbs you that you're looking at? Are you checking every day to see where your portfolio is? Are you looking to every day to see what the latest whatever is? Or are you reading your Bible? Hanging out with Jesus? Spending some time with Him? So he says, listen, those of the flesh walk according to the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh, but he says, in the contrast of that, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. Listen, so there's obviously a difference, right? And I believe we have to battle that. My personal opinion, 90% of our battle as Christians is in the mind. Is going on in there, and how do we handle that? And you know, you've heard the old saying about the two dogs and which one's the strongest. And you know, the guy has two dogs, and he says, which one's the strongest? And he goes, the one I feed the most. It's the same thing going on with us. Which part of us is the strongest, the flesh or the spirit? Well, the one that you feed the most, the one that you set your mind on the most, is going to be the thing that guides and is prevalent in your life, that is going to be the direction you go. So what are, you know, again, what are things of the Spirit? And listen, I think it's rather dangerous to give a list. You know, I know there's things that we can think about and stuff, and especially like when somebody accepts the Lord and we give them, you know, the Ben Born Again book. I love that book. And by the way, Greg's resurrecting all of that and doing some whole new stuff with it. But, you know, when you talk to people about walking in their first few years or whatever with the Lord, remember what we always tell a new believer? There's four things you need to do. First of all, you need to pray. Then you need to read your Bible. Then you need to fellowship with the saints. And then you need to be sharing your faith. Listen, if I give you a list like that this morning and say, that's how you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, here's what we're going to do. A little checklist. Yep, read my Bible. Check. Prayed. Check. Went to church. Check. Shared my faith with one person. Check. And here's what we go. Now I'm spiritual. No. You see, giving a list is dangerous, isn't it? What are the things of the Spirit? Well, I think the things of the Spirit are all of those things I mentioned. But they've got to be done according to the Spirit. And you need to be hanging out with Jesus. Jesus needs to be your best friend. You need to be spending time with him. And we need to set our mind on things like that. And, you know, I know in our culture, in our generation, man, our minds are so, to me, overloaded and full. We have instantaneous stuff all the time. And I'm a gadget guy. I get it. Some of us, we're not, but I get it. I'm a gadget guy. But you know, I think it's kind of a shame where lately, if we don't have instantaneous information about our friends, the quotes were because all your friends on Facebook, they're not your friends. They just come in and click that. People go, they are too, my friends. You don't even know some of them. You don't even know where they live. You have no clue even who they are. No, they're my friends. Actually, I have 4,382. You don't. But we want all that instant information. And, you know, sometimes I think it tends to overload what's going on. And we need to sometimes, as believers, I think we need to slow down. And we need to realize, and we need to openly and honestly sit before God and ask, Lord, am I setting my minds on things of the Spirit? Am I really focusing on that? You know, one verse that comes to mind for me is Philippians chapter 4, where Paul writes in verse 8, he writes this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Oh, that sounds, you know what, I got to be really honest. That sounds a lot different than things I think about at times. And so listen, I think that's just a good barometer to look at your life and say, how am I doing? Am I? And here's the thing, you can answer the question very simply. Am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking in the flesh? And if you're walking in the flesh, check this out. You're a believer, you're where you don't belong. You need to admit it to God. Don't try and deny it. Don't try and cover it up. Don't try and give it a better name. You know, some of us go, well, it's not really in the flesh. It's messing up. You know what? Just admit where you're at and move on. So Paul, listen, Paul gives us that dichotomy, and now he's going to talk about the flesh just for a little bit so we can understand how funky it really is. Verse 6, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death. Is death. Listen, he does not say, this is important, he does not say it leads to death. He doesn't say it will make you dead. Here's what he says, it's already dead. Carnally mindedness is death. How many of you hang out with dead people? Nobody raises their hand. How come? Because dead people aren't fun, number one, right? They kind of don't do anything. You got to drag them everywhere you go. They don't go on their own. There's all these complications. How many of you have ever, don't raise your hand, smelled death? The rotting, decaying flesh of a human being. If you ever have, you never forget that. That never goes away. And listen, every time when I think of this passage, I think of that. There's a time in my life where I experienced that. I think of that. And I think carnally minded is all of that putrefaction, all of that stench, death. That's what it is. And I don't want to be anywhere near that. Do you see Paul's point? He's making it, listen, he's making it very, very real so that we will stay away from it, so that we will understand that's what it is, and we'll go the other direction. We won't stay there. And listen, though, the contrast, again, I love it, but he says, you know, carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Which one do you really want to be around? I mean, even thinking about people in the world and people who are outside of Christ. You want to be around death or life and peace? And when he talks about life, he's talking about the abundant life that we have in Jesus. Real life, I like to call it. Which one? I mean, that's sort of a no-brainer, right? I think even if we went to the mall this afternoon and asked people, hey, you want to hang out with death or life and peace? I would say 90% of the people would say life and peace. There's a few that are going to be ornery. There's a few that are going to be, you know, rebellious. So I would rather be around death. Liar. But life and peace. You see, I think we have a misconception of this whole idea of being spirit-controlled, a misconception of this whole idea of walking with the Lord and having a godly life. Last week I made the statement, I'm going to make it again, Jesus didn't die to make us happy. He died to make us holy. Now listen carefully. With holiness comes happiness. It's a byproduct of holiness. Why? Because you're doing and being exactly what you were created to be. Raising children. When I think of what God is here, you know, requiring of us, I think of raising children. I think of when I was a kid. My parents told me over and over and over, do not stick metal objects in an outlet. They didn't have protectors when I was growing up. And I remember, don't do that. Now, I'm just that person. Why not? I'm going to find out why not. You only do it once. Right? You stick it in there. Bzzz. You go, oh, that's why I'm not supposed to do that. Now, why did my parents tell me not to do that? Because they didn't want me to get shocked, right? They probably didn't want to try and revive me if I died, you know. And listen, but why are they doing that? Are they doing that because they're mean? Are they doing that because they're abusive? Are they doing that because they're on some power struggle? Or are they doing that because they love me and they want to protect me? And they know that if I don't do that, I will be really happy. If I do that, I'm not going to be happy for a while. Well, isn't it the same thing with God? Doesn't he tell us those things? But we don't act so much like that age, we act like teenagers. You know, teenagers, we tell our teenagers things and they think we are the dumbest creation put on the planet. Like, where did you come up with that, Mom and Dad? Like, that is so, right? It's amazing how much your parents learn from the time you're 16 to the time you're 21. They become brilliant. But listen, we think they're against us. Why do parents try and manage and help teenagers? Because they love them. Because they want them to have a good life. Because they want them to be full of joy and happiness. Not to be mean. Not to be restrictive. Not to be overbearing. But because they care for them. Well, the same with our God. You see, we get mixed up. We go, well, come on, can I hang out in the flesh a little bit, man? Because, listen, it's enticing or we wouldn't do it. Can I hang out in the flesh a little bit? And here's what God says. It's death. It's death. Well, can I hang out a little bit? It's death. But hanging out in the Spirit is life and peace. He's trying to take us on a road that is going to lead to holiness, which in turn will lead to great happiness if we only let him do that. Oh, and then, listen, now he goes on and he says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Listen, now as he expounds on that, he says, listen, it's death. Why is it death? Because it's enmity against God. Once again, it doesn't lead to enmity. It is enmity. So far, here's what we're learning about this flesh. Number one, it's death. Right? The flesh, the carnally minded, is death. Number two, the carnally minded, the flesh, is enmity against God. It's the very definition of what it means to go against God. It's the total polar opposite. That's what Paul is saying. Listen, and as a Christian, then how can you say, I'm a carnal Christian? That's an oxymoron. That doesn't fit. Hey, you may be walking in the flesh, but you're not a carnal Christian. There's no such thing. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's everything that opposes God. And you and I need to understand it. And then he tells us, listen, he goes on, not only is it enmity, he tells us that it's not subject to the law of God, and nor can it be. Listen, people in the flesh cannot obey God. People go, yes, they can. Hey, I think people in the flesh can be moral. I think they can be good people, but they can't obey God. People go, yes, they can. God says no. I'm going with God. right? If God says they can't, I'm going to hang out with God. I'm going to be a little spiritually minded here, and I'm going to go for God, not for what the flesh would say. Listen, let God be true and every man be a liar, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? He says they can't, and you and I need to understand that. And I think sometimes we even need to push people to that and let them understand, you know, you may want to obey God, but you can't. Why? Because you don't have the Holy Spirit. No one can do the things of God without the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul goes into that whole explanation that you can't understand the mind of God because you're not the Spirit of God, and only when you get the Spirit of God can you understand the mind of God and do the things that God requires us to do. You can't do it. And you know what, Christians? So many times we want the world to act like they're saved. Why do we do that? Do you ever ask yourself that? Sometimes you look at somebody and go, man, they're like acting like a heathen. Because they are. That's why. And we get all uptight. And then sometimes we do the crazy things, the things that bug me more than anything. I'm going to boycott so-and-so because they're acting like a heathen. They're a heathen. What do you expect them to act like? I want them to act like a Christian. Why do you want them to act like a Christian? You know what somebody is that acts like a Christian that isn't a Christian? It's called a hypocrite. You want to have a bunch of hypocrites around? I don't. I want to know where the line is. I want to know where they're at. I want to know people for real. And when giant corporations that are run by carnally minded people act carnal, that does not shock me. I'm not like one going, I can't believe they did that. I totally believe they did that. Why? Because they're not in. But here's what we do. We look at believers and here's the thing, because we want to syncretize, we want to harmonize everything, we kind of bring some junk, some of that death, and we want to bring it into the relationship with the Lord. He says, no, leave that out. Get rid of that. You know, I was talking to Eric Souza, the young guy that's out in Florida that, you know, I try and talk to him a lot. And I was talking to him this week, and we were having a conversation about something going on there with some pastors, and I don't want to get into details, but it was gross. And here are pastors leading the people of God doing gross things. And Eric says, what do you think? I go, I think I would not hang out with them. That's what I think. I would not want anything to do with them. Why? Because they're in the flesh. And he even called them on it. And they go, but it's okay. I have freedom. Might want to read Romans chapter 8. We want to just look it up a little bit and understand that that is death. And you don't want to do that. And you cannot please God in the flesh. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now we got all of that. Now, listen, going through this, I know we're going through this part, and we're going, man, Pat, this is a downer. And I invited somebody today. And you're like, just like doing this downer thing. Okay, we're going to get, now here's the good news. Listen, you got to have the bad news before you get the good news, right? We got to understand, we need to get it in our hearts as believers. There is a difference between those who have accepted Jesus and those that he's redeeming and filled with his Spirit and those who are not in Christ. There is a difference. And listen, I'm not being intolerant. I'm not somebody who's isolating others. I'm just saying there's a difference. So now, listen, now he gets kind of to the good part. Look at verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. Woo, is that good news? Listen, I read 5, and then I read 6, and then I read 7, and then I read 8, and I go, oh, and then I read 9. But you are not of the flesh. Yes! I have that. Listen, I have that heavily underlined in my Bible. Because I think he's talking to the church in Rome, but I also think he's talking to Pat. And you know what? If you struggle with this, listen, if it's a struggle in your life and you're really drawn towards that whole carnality, you might want to just, verse 9, you might want to just the first part, you know, put on your mirror, put on your, you know, put it on your skin if you want in a tattoo and make sure that you understand, listen carefully, you are not of the flesh. That's not who we are. And if you remind yourself of that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to live a little bit differently. You're going to begin to, you know what, you're not going to believe the lie of the enemy where he takes you down this road. You say, wait a minute, I'm not of the flesh. Why am I doing this? Do you ever get in the middle of the sin and go, why am I doing this? And the Lord, usually when I do that, he usually speaks to me and goes, I don't have a clue why you're doing that either. But you need to stop it. Stop it. Get yourself out of it. Put the brakes on. Turn around. Go the other direction. So he says, but you, I love it, but you are not of the flesh, or but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Here's what we know from this. Every person who accepts Jesus is given the Holy Spirit. There's that whole teaching that, you know, you have to earn the Holy Spirit. No, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in you. And I think it's interesting in this section where Paul talks about, he calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ. He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of God. There's a lot of different names. But listen, he's talking about that Spirit who comes and indwells us. And he comes and guides us and governs us. And listen, don't let anybody tell you that you don't have the Spirit of God in you. If somebody tells you that, you need to tell them, excuse me, I do have the Spirit of God, and he's about ready to hit you. Listen, when people tell you that, that's a horrible, horrible thing to tell an individual, because what does this verse say? Here's what this verse says. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not his. Oh. You see, either you have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. Now, once again, I'm going to talk about a work of the Spirit that's different than what he's talking about here when we get to chapter 12, but that's just advertisement so you'll come back and not kind of bail out in the middle of 9, 10, and 11. So, listen, he says, if indeed the Spirit dwells in you, he dwells in you. That word dwell means he's coming and he's taking up residence. He's hanging out. I think that's awesome. Now, I know some people go, I don't know if I like that, man. If you knew where I was last night, I don't know if Jesus would like going where I went. Well, then talk to him about it. If you're going someplace where Jesus wouldn't have a good time, ask him. Go and say, are you enjoying this, Jesus? He might say, no, not too much. I'd really like to get out of here. And then leave, right? Listen to him. That's why he comes and indwells us. That's why we have the Spirit. Here's the problem, though. So many of us Christians, we want to be the Spirit for everybody else, right? We want to come along and tell people how to live. Hey, you should be doing this. Last time I checked, you're not the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be careful when we're doing that. And again, going back to corporations and people doing things. So he says, listen, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, the end of verse 9, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now that's a little bit complicated as Paul puts that out. And in my Bible, listen, in the NIV and I think the New American Standard and the ESV, when it says, but the Spirit is life, the S is capitalized for Spirit, meaning that what they feel is implied is he's talking about the Holy Spirit is life. Other translations have it in a small case letter implying that our spirit is, and even the NIV says, our spirit is alive. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I don't think, my opinion, and it's controversial, I think he's talking about the Spirit. Here's what he's letting us know. Our body, in the flesh, he tells us that if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Do you know? You know this body's decaying, right? That's not news, correct? Look in the mirror if you're kind of like thinking about it. Take pictures. Look at them over the years. You know, check it out. My wife drug out an old picture of me to show somebody, and I went, wow. Huh. I kind of remember that. So, the body's decaying. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favorite preachers of the last century, he was a medical doctor and then went into the ministry and began to preach. He taught the book of Romans, by the way. He taught the book of Romans on Friday nights at Westminster Chapel in England, packed the place every Friday night. It took him 13 years to go through the book of Romans. Wow. That's some endurance of the saints, huh? We're not going to take 13 years. But getting back to Martin Lloyd-Jones, this medical doctor, he has this statement that I think is pretty profound. He says, your very first breath of life is also your very first breath of the beginning of death. The moment we are alive, we start dying. And Paul's point is, listen, if we live our lives, serve everything for this body's dying. If we live for this world, if we get that you know, egocentric thing going on, we're gonna crash and burn, and that is death. So he says, listen, those of us who are in Christ, here's what you need to know. When you come to Jesus, you don't get a new body right away, right? Notice I said right away. There's one coming, but right away. This body, listen, if we're in Christ, this body is still dead. Why? Because of sin in the world. It's still decaying. It's still doing it. But, I love this, but the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, comes, and the Spirit is life. Not is made alive. The Spirit is life. The Spirit, what did we learn in the last verse? The Spirit indwells us. He brings life to us because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on a cross, rose again on the third day, was proof that he was righteous, was proof that it was right. He promised before he died that he would give us a comforter and he would come and teach us all things. Now he indwells us. He is life because of righteousness. But, verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Oh, there's a good... You listen, I'm kind of digging that, right? Here's what he's letting you and I know. Man, this body that's dead because of sin, well, because Jesus was raised from the dead, now I have life in this body. Now, I believe he's referring to the resurrected life, but even more than that, to our bodies being changed. But greater than that, I believe Paul is wanting us to understand right now, you can experience eternal life. Because eternal life is simply life with God. Right now, listen, I hear so many people say, oh, you know what, life right now is horrible and miserable, and you know, it's dying and death and decay. And I'm thinking, dude, you are so in the flesh. But listen, and they do that. That's not eternal life. I understand our bodies are dying. I understand there's sin in the world. I understand sin affects everybody. But here's what I know. I can right now experience life with God. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven. I don't have to wait till that day. I can experience it right now, moment by moment, as I walk in the Spirit and as I allow the Spirit to guide me and direct me. I can have it now. Why do you want to wait till you get to heaven? And by the way, some people tell me this. I hear this, especially as a pastor, you talk to people. The minute you tell people you're a pastor, like barriers and walls go up and all kinds of things begin happening. And so now you have to start talking to them and try and pull down those walls. And listen, though, I hear people say this, well, you know what, I'll wait till I get to heaven to love Jesus. Really? You don't wait till you get to heaven to love Jesus? Here's the thing, and I'm kind of blunt. I think if you're not loving Jesus right now, I don't think you're going to go to heaven. What on earth makes you think you're going to change just because you die? Just because you die, you think instantly you're going to... I think we've got to be in love with Jesus now. And I think we've got to be loving him. I brought it up, I think, Thursday night. There's that song, you know, in that day, man, I hope there's no big change. When Jesus comes, I don't want there to be a huge change in my life, like I'm going from being some carnally minded, you know, person living for my flesh and self-gratification. And then Jesus shows up, and I'm going, whoa! When Jesus comes, I want to say this. I was expecting you. I was just talking to you. I was just talking to you, and here you are. How incredible that. Then you see what I'm saying? We should be in love with him now. We should experience him now. We should have eternal life right now, enjoying our relationship with God. That's, I think, the emphasis here. And then here's the great news. We're going to get a new, improved body. I'm kind of digging that. You know, people go, oh, I'm kind of liking my body. That's because you're young. That's why. You're digging it because you're that age. I don't like my body. And I've kind of trashed it. I've done things to it that, you know, I don't want to take to heaven. And I don't want it going to heaven with me. I don't want the hardware going. I don't want all the stuff they stuck in me and things going on. I want that new body. And check this out. I just don't want this one remodeled. I want a new one. That's what... That's the ultimate goal. But right now, let's enjoy Jesus. So here's the question. Today, this is kind of a weird message for Christmas time. Are y'all carnally minded, getting caught up shopping in the malls? And no, I don't want to do that. Listen. Right now, today, are you, and only you can answer this, no elbowing, spouses, no elbowing. Are you more carnal than you are spiritual? Or are you more spiritual than you are carnal? Are you even aware that that dichotomy exists? That you need to be thinking about, listen carefully, that you need to be thinking about what you're putting in your mind. Are you understanding that? Because one is going to lead to death and bring death, even in the midst of life. The other is going to give you life and peace. I don't think that's a hard decision, is it? So my prayer is for myself and for us, that there would be a little bit more conviction of the Holy Spirit, that there would be a little bit more separation in my life between me and the world. Again, not building big walls and doing stuff, but I want people in the world to look at me and I want them to wonder what's going on in my life. Not in a weird sense, being from Bisbee, that happens a lot, but I want them to wonder, what is it? How come when that happens to him, it's not taking him out? How come in that situation he made that decision? How come, and get people looking at us and watching us because we're walking in the Spirit. That's what we want, because we're to be an example to this world. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you here today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this challenge here in Romans chapter 8. And God, I pray that as Lord, as believers, as we're standing here right now, that we may maybe do that heart check. Look at things and check out things in our lives. And Jesus, convict us if we need convicting. Strengthen and encourage us if we need strengthening. Be our guide. Be that which governs in our lives and governs our decisions. Ultimately, we're asking you to be glorified in our lives. And I'm going to ask you to stay in an attitude of prayer for another couple minutes. And you know what? If you're here today and you know for sure you're not even close to being in the Spirit, you know you've never made a decision for Jesus, I want to challenge you right now to make that decision. I want you to come out of the flesh and come into the Spirit. And here's how you do it. You recognize that you're a sinner. You are someone at this moment in time right now, you're feeling conviction because of your sin. You understand that you haven't been walking with the Lord and that you need to. And then most importantly, you understand that Jesus Christ died for your sin. And if that's your heart, listen, if you want to give your life to Jesus and begin that relationship with him, if that's where you want to go, then today's the day. You weren't here by accident. And now is the time to call out to him and ask him to forgive you. I'm going to say a prayer in a minute, and here's what I want you to do. I'm just trying to help verbalize maybe what's going on in your heart and in your life. And I want you to say this prayer with me. You can say it out loud or you can say it silently. But it's got to come from your heart. Maybe this morning, maybe you're here and you've been backslid. You've been walked away from God, maybe for months, maybe for a couple years, or maybe for years. And today you realize you need to come home. It's time to come back. I want you to say this prayer also. Just call out to God, because our God's a God of redemption and forgiveness. Jesus, today I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry that I sinned against you, God. And right now I'm asking you to forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you right now for your forgiveness. Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to come into my life. I want to walk in the Spirit. Today, I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. Now, if you said that prayer with me, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. You're going to have to lift it up high because the lights went out. So lift up your hand so I can see it, so I can pray for you and encourage you. Anyone in here desiring that relationship? I see yours in the back. Anyone else? Greatest decision you'll ever make. I see yours over here on my right. God bless you. Anyone else? Today is the day. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for those decisions. And Lord, I pray right now that you would make yourself real to those individuals, especially those who raise their hand. But Lord, I pray for anyone who said that prayer, that right now they would realize how real you are. And more importantly, how powerful your blood is to wash away all of their sin, to wash away their guilt and their shame. And God, that in this moment, they would know they've been set free from that bondage of sin. That now they're free to serve you and free to worship you. Encourage and strengthen those. And for all of us, I pray that we would understand the greatness of your salvation for our own lives. And that we would no longer believe the lie of that we can walk this way. But Lord, we would purpose in our hearts to walk in the Spirit and set our mind on things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's celebrate with those who raise their hands.